Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Scott and I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ellie, who is here to tell us her experience of being a visiting monk at the monastery. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. So I'm guessing there's a lot to say about your month-long stay at the monastery. Where would you like to begin?
Oh my gosh, there's so much to say about it. I think the thing that kind of, I thought I went in without expectations and then discovered that I had some expectations.
Which is a good place to see them, right? At the monastery in a privileged environment. So we think, you know, I don't have any expectations. And then we go and we're like, oh, there they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to see that that, you know, those expectations, you know, that it would be like something I've experienced in the past, even though it's the same place and doing the same things, that it's completely different and new each time.
Wow, that's such a great practice process, isn't it? So it's the the same place and the same thing, but completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to, like, one of the things was to see, you know, all the distractions, you know, when you're at the monastery, there's no distractions, and the structure of the schedule and everything supports practice and awareness. And what I experienced was having the experience of so many things that we talk about in practice. One that comes up really prominently for me is dropping the conversation, because I had this story that I don't know how to drop the conversation.
Yeah. I just want to highlight what you were saying at the beginning is when you come into the monastic environment, there really are no distractions, or they're very minimized, right? So there's, you know, there's no phone, there's no TV, there's no radio. Nobody is going to just start coming up to you and talking to you. You know, no one's looking at you. And, you know, in that place, there's just, there's so much to see.
Yeah. And that having the experience of over and over and over and over of things like dropping the conversation or of directing awareness and, like, internalizing that and, like, just really, like, there's a felt experience of what dropping the conversation and directing the awareness feels like that I didn't have a month ago.
Yeah, thank you for saying that again. That place of having an experience of dropping the conversation. So something that we hear a lot from the guide, get out of the conversation, drop the conversation. And to have a felt experience of it over and over again and being able to internalize that.
Yeah. And what I'm finding is that there's a greater trust in myself and like just getting that if I haven't had the experience, I just haven't had the experience, and that's okay. And there's, I don't know, it feels like there's a little more patience with the being and with, you know, the wanting to understand it all and figure it all out. And yeah.
So we can all relate to that kind of push it can feel like, to wanting to understand it all and kind of know it all, and just a growing trust and patience that it sounds like you'll have the experience when you have the experience, and we can just kind of relax into that.
Yeah, it's just amazing the growing, you know. One of the things we say is in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. And I had like this experience of seeing how those live in my life, and that growing trust is part of like the ever expanding faith and the constant devotion.
Yeah, so every morning at the monastery we do the daily recollection. We say it out loud and you are just repeating some of the lines from there. And it sounds like, again, kind of that place of, I've heard that before, or there are those words, but then having a direct experience of that, seeing how it applies to your life and being able to practice it, it sounds like both at the monastery and also since you've returned home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My practice focus, the thing that I kept coming back to, was being with and caring for the body. And one of the things that got reflected back to me was just this huge compassion for the body and the loving kindness and the gentle care. And it's really epitomized in, I got a note that when I wasn't feeling well and I had informed the guest master, we communicate by note at the monastery, and I had posted a note or had let someone know, and then I was directed to go rest, and there was such a huge push to like want to continue even though I wasn't feeling well, and to have that reflection in that moment was just amazing.
Yeah, because otherwise we might not see that push, or it may seem like, well, yeah, I do have to get these things done, or I can't rest right now. But to have the reflection, and again, that communication piece, right? So you kind of communicated what was going on, that allowed for the reflection to rest. And it sounds like you were able to take that in, kind of that practice of, I think you were saying, compassion, loving kindness for the body. Mm-hmm. And just to allow that rest and relaxation to occur, it sounds like a really big shift in maybe how you would have approached it otherwise.
Oh my gosh, it was so huge, because I was totally like ready to go and like I'm going to be be a part of and contribute. And it's like, well, the best thing right now is to go rest.
Yeah, yeah, contributing and being a part of right now, that looks like rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, because of course Ellie needs, if we don't take care of the body, then we're not going to be available. So what a contribution to rest when it's time to rest.
Yeah, and just the huge trust that the monastery has in the individual and everyone as a practitioner to be out and doing our practice and communicating, you know, what's happening, and to be trusted with the practice. I just really felt that as a visiting monk.
Yeah. Just being really trusted with the practice. What was coming up when you said that is, no one here is confused about you're completely adequate to your experience.
Yeah.
And so you're given, you know, the freedom to kind of to practice that and see that for yourself, and to communicate when it needs to be communicated, and to receive the note and to look when you get a note, and to really practice with it all.
Yeah.
And that trust, that seems like a common theme in your time of practice.
Yeah, it feels like my trust and my faith just got so much deeper in myself and in the practice.
Yeah, that trust, and I think you said earlier, that ever-expanding faith mm-hmm. in yourself and in the practice. And it sounds like it just really carried forward into your daily life.
Yeah, it totally has.
Yeah, wow. Well, Ellie, I see we're at the top of our hour. Is there anything else that you wanted to say before we go?
If you're thinking about being a visiting monk,
amen to that, Ellie. Great. Well, thanks so much, Ellie.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Michael, we'll turn the show over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Ellie. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. And yourself?
Great. I'm doing great. Great.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that conversation also.
I know. I love that. If you're thinking about being a visiting monk, yeah, go on ahead. It's a good time.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's life-changing. It may be a good time. It's probably not always a good time. You know, every minute of it might not be a good time, but it's a life-changer.
Yes.
And that's the kinds of experiences Ellie was talking about. That's what people get. There's just nothing like being with yourself, with life, with the mentor in such a compassionate container for an extended period of time to shift things around. So, yeah, it is an incredible opportunity that people have.
Yes, yes. And I really appreciated Ellie's story about when she was not feeling well and the
mm-hmm.
monastery reflecting that. And I know that's my experience also, that the monastery responds with, you know, I can only imagine, seems like just plain common sense to the monastery, but my experience of it is like, wow, that's amazing. So compassionate, reflected back to me.
Yes.
And,
wow.
Beautiful.
These people don't treat me the way the voices in my head treat me. They don't seem to have the same standards that those voices have. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I have announcements here, unless you'd like to start us in another direction.
That's good. No, I know there's a lot of exciting stuff happening.
Yes, there is. Sherry, you will be speaking this Sunday, August 27th, in San Mateo, California, at the College Heights Church. And the title is, Fear is a Four-Letter Word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and there's no charge or registration needed for this interactive exploration of how fear prevents us from enjoying our precious life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's at 10 a.m. I don't have it right here, but that's my
recollection. I think it is too, Michael. That seems right. Yeah, like 10 to 11:30 or something.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. A practice weekend is coming up September 22nd through 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We just had one. When you said that, I thought, oh, my gosh, we did. Well, last weekend. Fun.
Yes.
Very fun.
And once again, we have the opportunity to practice tuning to life's rhythms as we take care of our spiritual home at the Seasons of Joy Fall Retreat, October 3rd through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Uh-huh.
This retreat will provide training in using simple physical activity to cultivate a joyful presence and expanded awareness that makes ordinary life extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of extraordinary, On October 15th, we will gather in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled Sangha experience. Mm-hmm. And find out more about the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, and Michael, it just occurred to me, if anybody were thinking about coming to California and it's a long trip, gosh, it'd be fun to combine those two events, come to the monastery for the retreat and then stay in California for the bridge walk. That could be a good time.
That could be a good time, and I'm sure the weather will be gorgeous.
Stunning.
Uh-huh. And believe it or not, it is time to plan for the New Year's retreat. This retreat from December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, for people who don't know Menlo Park. This retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please send the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. Okay, and if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, and I see that many of you do, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is fabulous.
Perfect.
Shall we get started, Sherry?
Let's do.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Oh. This is Michael from North Carolina.
Well, hello, Michael.
Good evening. A while back, I don't know, I'm not sure how many months ago it was, I started doing that 30-day retreat from the back of Making a Change for Good, at your suggestion. Stuck on the one that was on the day that where I was told to consider which parts of myself need kindness, and the whole thing just brought my brain to a stop. And I called in again, and I got some advice about that. Just considering kindness in general, it was a little bit more sophisticated than that, but that really made a very different way of thinking about things. And I found that, of course, there's a part of me that is just not getting any kindness at all, and that some entity is diverting kindness away from. And it's an important part. It's like the one that says, I need to do this thing for myself because I'm the only one that can do it, and nobody else is supposed to do it. I'm supposed to do it. And that part doesn't get any kindness, and it doesn't do those things.
Michael, can I stop you right there? Can you just give me an example of one of those kinds of things?
Sure. I was needing to take a series of classes so that I can empower myself in a particular way. And I'm the only one that can do that. Right. And tons of reasons that I could come up with not to. And mostly it's the peril of, oh, everything's hopeless. Now, when I say it that way, it sounds ridiculous. But I would never say it out loud, even to myself. It was just a sort of a hum that was going on in the background. And things began to shift some. I'm now more aware of how much of that I'm doing, or that conditioning is doing to me, and but I'm not as identified with it. It's a little more chaotic,
yeah.
And it's like there's stuff is rattling around in my head a lot, you know. But it's not the same as just being sucked into it and identified with it. So I'm thinking my expectation is this will progress, I will disidentify with it further. It does seem like
the
that's
more you can, the more you continue to pay attention and watch it, the more disidentified you'll be. Is that kind of what you're noticing?
That's what I'm. Yes, that's what I'm noticing. It's what I'm expecting to continue. I can't say that the feeling is exactly pleasant. It's kind of stressful, but because it's active, and I'm active. I'm an active part of it. So you know, it's like
yes,
this.
What is the stressful part, Michael?
Oh. Well, I'm still getting. You know, oh my God, this could be really bad. Oh, if you make a wrong move, the things could go wrong. You could you know, sink your own, you know, and you know, the thing is, if I don't do anything, that's not going to be a good result either. And there is no guarantee of anything working out. And actually, in reality, usually when I start doing something and really pay attention to it, I'm reasonably competent, you know, really.
Yeah. Of course.
Even when I learn that, it doesn't help me the next time around. Or I still repeat the pattern, or I have historically.
It hasn't helped you yet.
That's true.
But it will. Because what you're increasingly seeing is that those voices, number one, lie. It's not true that you can't do this, or that it's going to be awful, or you're going to make some sort of hideous mistake that's going to ruin your life. So the voices lie, that you can see that they're certainly not there to try to support or take care of you. So they have no good purpose in your life, and they lie to you, and they're mean. So seeing all of that about them, we increasingly find enthusiasm for losing interest in them. And that's what's going to make all the difference, is not that you're going to try to get rid of them or, you know, do any of the things that other voices in your head would say you need to do, but you're just going to lose interest in them because you see it for what it is, and you don't have time or energy for it.
Yeah, I think that sounds very likely. Right now it's, you know, well, there's this unpleasantness of how it feels, but it's not that bad. And I actually think that it's going to lead to something better. I think it's the right thing to do, even if it is a little bit of a bumpy road.
I can promise you it is. So if you imagine that you had a parent, say you had a father, who kind of talked to you in those ways. You know, why are you doing this? You're just going to screw it up. You've never done anything that worked. Imagine that you had that kind of parent. And mm-hmm. How long would you seek advice from that person?
Yeah, pretty soon you'd want advice from somewhere else.
That's exactly right. And pretty soon, because, you know, circumstances are what they are, you would develop the ability to know that that's going to go on, because that's just how he is. That's going to go on, and you don't need to pay attention to it. You don't need to take it personally. You don't need to argue with it. You don't need to fight with him. You don't need to do anything. You can just basically ignore what he says and go on about your business.
Yeah, I think that's true. It occurs to me, within the last week, I heard a psychologist interviewed. He's written a couple of books, co-written a couple of books, and he was describing what seemed to me the same thing. It sounded like, you know, pretty good. And I think, wait a minute, this is the same thing that Sherry Huber talks about, except it's in different language. That, you know, people go into therapy and they say, oh yeah, that's great. It's a great idea. I'm going to do that. And then 3 months later, they find out, it turns out they've gotten off the track. because there's this pattern that recurs that gets them off the track. And
yeah.
But it's
call
a,
it karma.
Really, it's exactly. Or you know, and it's the same thing. And someone in a more traditional psychological frame is now talking about it. I hadn't heard that before.
Yes, they're catching on. They're catching on, yeah. Michael. All, the whole world is catching on to what the Buddha was talking about 2,500 years ago. It's amazing. He's becoming an overnight success.
Yeah, it can't happen soon enough. Except
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well, very good. Yeah. And Michael, do you have a recording and listening practice?
No. What's the best way? Because last time you asked me that, and then we cut to the chase to get around that. It was going to take a while. But the answer is no, and not at this
okay.
point.
Well, there are two ways. There are group classes that go on, and there are individual trainers that are available. And I would really encourage you to avail yourself of that practice because it just speeds things up. You know, we can do it on our own, and if we're fortunate and have a kind of a tenacious nature, we will get there. But it's just so much faster to have somebody show us the ropes and encourage us as we learn to do this for ourselves.
Okay. I can believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't believe it, but if it's of interest, then you know, just either go online and go that way, or write in, or whatever's comfortable for you, and fix you up with somebody who can walk you through it.
I guess what I'm saying is it sounds good enough to give it a try. So.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely okay. That. Yeah. All right. Well, good to hear from you, Michael. Take good
Thank
care.
You very much. Have a good evening.
Okay. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. And Sherry, we do live in an amazing time with an amazing practice. And to be able to have these opportunities, recording and listening training and everything else, I won't list them all here. But really, I'm running out of excuses for not waking up. So
Michael.
All I have to do is say yes and participate. And, you know, with Sangha and technology and the teachings, it's hard to avoid waking up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, of course, as you know, we have that little thing that we always say about if ending suffering is more important than anything, I'll end suffering. If I'm suffering, it's because I'm choosing something over ending suffering. And, of course, ego just latches onto something like that with, See, you're suffering, so you must be choosing it. So if we take the self-hate out of it, then we get to that thing that is, you know, one of my very favorites, that the Buddha taught, that we can suffer for as long as we choose to, and when we no longer choose to, we can end it. And it's not a crapshoot, right? It's not a, well, gosh, gee, I sure hope I can. No. It's step by step by step by step. It's anybody who wants to do it can do it. And so taking the self-hate out, we just get to the point of, do I want to do this? Do I want to live in peace, freedom, and joy? Or do I want to keep suffering? And if the answer is, well, actually, I'm not ready to quit suffering, that's great. All I suggest for people is quit complaining. Because if we know that it's possible to end suffering and we're still suffering because we're not doing that those things that end suffering, then we really can't gripe about our lives because we're choosing them.
Yes, yes. And the secret, as you just said, is dropping the self-hate. And it just makes the whole world of difference, because then I can just see, wow, I really screwed that up, and I can see how I got there and what conditioning told me and how that happened. And, wow, I'm really glad to see that because now I know how that happens, and I'm able not to choose that again.
Yes, Precisely. Yeah. And so here we are. What, as we were saying on Project Joy this morning, okay, what now? Here we are. What now?
Yeah. Yes, not what next, but what now?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And the answer to that question, Sherry, is our next caller.
Oh, very good. Well done. Nice segue.
Thank you. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, I'm from New York, and I'm so happy that I got on your show. I tried to get on last week, and I didn't. So, anyways, every time you call, I call up, I'm like struggling, and there's some issue going on that I'm trying to control that I can't control. And I guess now with the Enneagram class, which I thought was fabulous, what I'm looking at is how there are just like endless possibilities to everything in life, and that so much of life is just a mystery.
Yeah. And so why are we trying to control it? I bet that's the kind of concluding question you get to, right? Why would we try to control this?
I think I have the answer. And what I can think of is fear. Fear.
Yes. And the synonym for that is ego.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I never looked at
that. So ego doesn't want to lose control over the human being that it's got its hooks into. It likes
mm-hmm.
controlling Barbara. It likes talking to her and getting her all worked up and leading her off into these bizarre directions and just eating up that suffering, just gobbling up that energy of suffering. Yeah.
Wow.
And it doesn't want it to end.
I didn't think I'd have this conversation, so it's really great. And I can just see it being taken as, well, then you got to do a lot more recording, listening, and you got to do a lot more practice, and you have to expose ego for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the beauty of it is, so what we started out with, there's all this stuff going on in life, and ego makes us believe through that same conversation, that there is a problem and something needs to be changed and fixed, and you are the one who's going to do that. So it's
mm-hmm.
going to control you to do that, it control you to make you believe that you need to be in control of what's happening, and that
mm-hmm.
if you can be in control of what's happening, then you'll be all right, otherwise you're not. And the simple answer so the whole thing, the solution to that entire made-up problem is not listening to and believing what those voices say.
You know, it's so much easier said than done. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what you get to do is relax into life. So if you have no control over what happens, which doesn't mean we don't do the best we can in every situation, because we do. But doing the best we can is not the same as control. So we get up every day and we're the best people we can be, and we do the best we can. We see what we see, and we're just doing everything we can to be a good human being. And whatever happens, happens. And so it puts us in a position that's very much like being a small child.
Mm-hmm.
Small children are very relaxed and generally happier than adults, because they don't think they should have control. And
mm-hmm.
so you're just there for whatever it is that arises, whatever goes on. And in that way, we learn to enjoy life.
You know, but again, it's easier said than done, because what about the panic attacks that come through when it's like egocentric karma conditioning, self-hate's not getting its way? So then it creates panic. And yeah.
Shall I tell you what I did?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I would lie down on the floor in a spread eagle, kind of making a big X with my body on my back on the floor, And mm-hmm. I would watch all the sensations that would go through my body, and I would watch the labels and the stories that went with those. And I would just lie there and breathe to the best of my ability mm-hmm. and until it passed. And it did. And there were about three of those. And then uh-huh. that was the end of them. Because there was no... The thing is for ego, Barbara, there's no juice in that. Ego is not going to keep doing something that doesn't cause you to suffer. It's just not. Self-hate is not going to try to beat you up over things that you don't feel bad about. There's just no point in it. So the reason that panic attacks are such a problem for people is that they panic. But if you don't panic, if you just are there with the experience, then I promise you that system is going to move on to something more interesting.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, and it's great if I'm at home and I'm not out in the world at work. But at work, when there are so many different personalities, I work for a big company, and someone says something, does something, all kinds of sneaky, snaky people. And sooner or later, you're bound to get triggered. And in being triggered, ego, centric karma conditioning, self-hate, grabs that and really uses it. And you really do believe it because you see a setup. You see pictures of what you really think is true. And I know it's a delusion. It's very hard not to take that as the truth.
Oh, Barbara, I would be the last person to tell everybody, to tell anybody that this is easy. I've never said that this is easy.
Uh-huh.
It's extremely simple. It's extremely straightforward. But it does that mean that, poof, there you are, tomorrow, all done? No. As I'm fond of pointing out, if it were easy, it would be popular. If it were easy, we'd all be doing it. Everybody, you know, that Sangha would be 7 billion plus people all marching mm-hmm. along down the path to freedom. But it's mm-hmm. not like that, right? So that is absolutely true. That's why we call it practice. So we practice. You see these people do these things. And of course, because you do awareness practice, you stop focusing on them and start focusing on what's going on with you, right? Because that's the only place that we can make any changes. And that's the only place we have any choice. So instead of believing the voices that say, oh, he's blah, 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 or she's blah, 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 we start seeing that voice, say what it's saying, follow that projection back. The first thing we know is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is a slimy snake, no question about it. It projects that onto you, onto these other people. It absolutely does that. It, as long as we get caught up listening to it and believing it, we're going to suffer. But it's just what we were talking about with Michael. As soon as we see that that's a system that is there just poised to create suffering wherever possible, we start watching it as that instead of believing that it's me and it's true and I need to act out of that.
I get it. Uh-huh. It's being able to distance yourself but watch it.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Which is why recording and listening practice is so important, because we are in conversation with the mentor. You know, you're seeing what you see during the day. You come home. You talk about it. You record about it. You notice the insights, the awarenesses. You make recordings about how you listen to in the morning, about how you want to focus on this and this, and this is what you're working with. You listen to those throughout the day. Something happens. You watch what happens with you. You record about it. Wisdom from the mentor. You get some more distance from it. And pretty soon, you realize you're not in what ego calls real life at all. You're in a workshop. You're in a workshop, and what the subject of the workshop is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and that's what you're doing all the time. Okay.
Thank you so very much.
You can do this. You can
do
it.
Thank you.
All right. Good woman.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Another great conversation, Sherry. A lot of willingness in our song this year.
Yes. And thank goodness, as we say often, we're doing it together. Because if we were out here trying to do this on our own, it would be a long, rugged slog.
Yes, it would. Mm-hmm. Sherry, we're going to break now and hear from our recording and listening program.
Oh, for Michael.
Yes, exactly.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then recording and listening training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
We have some excitement. We have some excitement here. Very exciting.
Helga? Yes, very exciting.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Helga.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah. I didn't think I'd get on because I came late from work and, you know, I just punched in the number thinking that there's so many people ahead of me, but here I am.
Here you are.
Again.
Uh-huh. I love it.
I'm glad.
What's going on?
Oh, well, you know, I have all kinds of questions. I had a question that I've been meaning to ask you for a while, but then I had a conversation today with a friend of mine, and it brought up a different question, so maybe I'll just go with that. My friend was talking about his situation. I've known him for a long time. He always creates a lot of chaos in his life. And he talked about how he was feeling like going between feeling stuck and being overwhelmed and, being kind of really manic, getting very little sleep because he has to work so much and all that kind of stuff. And then he said underneath he was really feeling like he was just watching this whole thing. Playing out, and you know, it's been going on his whole life, and there was like a place underneath where he can see all that and be okay. And I think, you know, what that brought up for me was, I'm wondering, you know, in my own life, you know, I become aware of how I create situations that are become difficult or where I don't feel like really at ease all the way, where I always create like there's always like a feeling of like some tension underneath, and I'm aware of it,
And I can even, you know, in over the last couple of years being with you, I find myself falling into a place of compassion and self-love that's very distinct because, you know, I don't always live there, so I can feel it when it's there. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I feel like if I don't, then if that doesn't at some point translate into changes in behavior, I wonder then, I mean, that just seems like a, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what, you know, what the point of awareness is if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't translate then into changes in my life that are actually
Helga,
tangible.
Helga, like Helga,
what?
I can't tell you how happy you are making me. You are making me very happy today for two reasons. One, I want to tell you that keep an eye out for the Musings article that's going to come out pretty soon. You're going to love it.
Okay.
And second, I was just writing to somebody this afternoon in the email class on the exact same subject. The person said, you know, was writing in kind of a combination of you and your friend, right? So I know this stuff is going on, and I still seem to choose the karma. I'm aware of it, that it's going on, but I continue to choose the karma. And so I'm, you know, I just make these little changes and little steps. And so my response was, hopefully this person will get to what you're seeing. So it's great. It's wonderful to be aware of what's happening. But if it doesn't result, if that change in consciousness doesn't result in a change of behavior that helps the person find peace and freedom, then yes, they may call it awareness practice, but it's just entertainment.
Hmm.
And the place that I was looking at as you were talking is, so if we, you know, somebody has, this fictitious person we're looking at, has a child, you know, 7 or 8 year old child, and the child is really unhappy because the parent is, you know, never there, never listens, never pays attention, doesn't seem to care, and the child is really unhappy. And the parent knows that the child is unhappy, but, you know, life is busy and things go on and I don't really have time, and I'm going to get around to it, and I'm going to address it pretty soon. But, you know, she's okay. I mean, she's got enough to eat. She's got a roof over her head. It's not, you know, it's not horrible. Okay? So how would we feel listening to that parent rationalize basically mistreatment of a child? I bet we would agree that we would wish that those circumstances would change because it's really important, and that's where we are. So there's your friend. He's giving his life over to that system that will result ultimately in, I would guess, unhappiness and probably death before needs be, because if you don't sleep and you're stressed all the time and that sort of thing, it's not good for your health, you know, and for you.
Yeah, well, his point was then, you know, that we are not our bodies.
It's liable to be a rough moment when he tries to go on without it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, you know, Helga, that's a basic tenet actually of Zen, that body and mind are actually one. It's not that we are our bodies. The illusion is that there's an I. So there's the body and mind, they are one. The illusion is that there's a me who is in charge of those and can basically ignore and abuse and whatever. Which is what ego does to people. So I'm right there with you. Change of consciousness requires a change of behavior, or we just slide right back into the same karmic groove. And the more we slide back into it, the deeper the suffering is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Well, that answered that question. Next time I call, good. Next time I call with another one.
All right, good. Well, I appreciate that. It's great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, yeah.
All right.
Good to
take
talk.
Care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. What a great message, Sherry, that if I'm just practicing but no behavior change is occurring, then really, what am I doing?
Yeah, I'm not practicing.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I mean, it's the equivalent of reading self-help books, you know?
Right.
I mean, truly, I just read them, and I might as well be reading novels. Because in everything, there's something for us, something that can assist us to choose life over egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate if we want to do that. And if we don't, again, it's not a problem. It's not a problem for me if people don't want to do it, but I want people to know what the stakes are and not to let those same voices beat them up and make them suffer over the choice that the voices talk them into making.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Amy calling from Palo Alto.
Well, hello, Amy.
Hi. I am following some coaching advice and calling in.
Because if you don't, what the heck are you doing with coaching, right? per our last conversation, right? If you don't make that change of behavior, the change of consciousness is not going to remain, and we don't want to go down that road. Go ahead.
Yes. what I've been looking at over this past maybe months is a lot of physical things going on with the body, and nothing serious, but just a series of either consecutive or simultaneous things and infections or allergies, injuries, just one thing after another. Tied into that is just a lot of anxiety, and then partly tied into trying to maintain my responsibilities at my full-time job, and I've pretty much used up all the sick leave available to me, and then also sort of coinciding with all of this going on is some changes in the department that looks like it's going to be adding more responsibilities to my job description. And so there's a lot of sort of stress mm-hmm. and overwhelm. And mm-hmm. I'm having a workshop. I'm reaching out for some additional support.
Well, here's my best encouragement, Amy. I'd start praying. Okay? I'm serious.
Okay.
Most people would not think I was serious, but I'm absolutely serious. And it would take exactly this form. So, you know, if we were God-fearing types, then we would talk in terms of thy will be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we can get to, right? Because that's what we were talking about earlier, that realization that we have no control over any of this, and the intelligence that animates, however we want to talk about whatever the heck is going on here, clearly it is not up to us to be in control of anything. And yet, you know, we've both been practicing long enough to have a sense that whatever that intelligence is wishes us well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. It's not vengeful or hateful or punishing or angry or jealous or any of those kinds of things that people have tried to convince us. It is right. There's a tremendous sense of kindness and compassion and care when we tap into it. Not when we're with the voices in the head, but when we actually tap in through the mentor for many people to that which is animating us. We experience it as compassionate and kind and supportive and wise and all of those kinds of things. And so that would be my encouragement to you, is to move into a place of being very clear about what it is that you want. So I say with great regularity, because I really do like St. Francis, who knows if this came from, where this actually came from, apparently somebody else, but it's called the St. Francis Prayer, make me an instrument of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And let me serve. Let me be a force for loving kindness and goodness in the world. And so that's kind of it. And then whatever form that takes. So to be very clear that you want to do what you're doing. You want to be able to do this job. You want to show up and do your very best for these people. You've worked really hard to get to this place, and it's really what you want to do, and it's not up to you. And so it's kind of everything in this universe that wishes us well. Now would be a good time to provide some extra assistance and support. And however it goes, I'm saying yes to it. So I'm going to do the very best that I can, and I could use all the support and assistance that I can get.
Okay.
That's my version of praying. And I think it's a good one, because it is my experience that there is much more in this universe that wishes us well. You know the Gary Zukav one that we always get to, 10% of you makes a decision and 90% of the universe gets behind it. And so, you know,
yeah.
I'm ready to let go of the fear. I'm going to go at this with everything I've got. Help me. Support and assistance, please. Show me the way. Guide me. Strengthen me. Whatever it is. And however it goes, I will be done.
Yeah. And then just keep showing up.
And then just keep showing up. That's right. Just keep showing up. And that way you cannot go wrong, because, again, whatever happens, you know, number one, you've given it your very best shot, and number two, there's it's for your benefit. This all is for your benefit. That we must trust. That we must have faith in. And I think it's not hard to have faith in that as soon as we start paying a little bit of attention, because when we look back over our lives, we realize, it does seem to have gone that way. Every single thing seems to have been for my benefit.
Yeah, and so this too.
And this too. Yeah, it's maybe bigger than the other things, but that just says you're ready for bigger.
Okay. Okay. We'll take that.
Stay in touch, okay? Stay in really close touch. Yeah? Because you want to, I mean, it's wonderful to put all of that out on an energetic level, but you don't want to forget that there are actual human beings around who can also assist and support and strengthen and aid and comfort.
Yeah, and I think part of when things start going on with the body is when I start to isolate the most. Because I cancel plans. I don't feel like I can show up to places. And
So, and Amy, with that, there's a difference between taking care of yourself and isolating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so you want to make sure to avail yourself of the things that support you and cut yourself loose from the things that would just drain your energy. And you know which those mm-hmm. are. I mean, sometimes when we're on top of the world, we can do things that just drain our energy. Because why not? You have plenty of energy. Mm-hmm. But then when we want to turn all of that energy and get it focused in a specific direction for a particular purpose, then we want to draw it in, not to isolate, but just to mm-hmm. make all of the energy available to go in that direction that we're choosing. So plenty of sleep and good food and meditation and fresh air and all of those sorts of things.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
You.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Amy. Sherry, that's such a powerful message that I do my part as best I can to the best of my abilities, and I really need to let go of how things turn out.
Yes, because that conversation of how things turn out, that's the killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's just such a colossal drain of energy. If we're just living in thank you and that growing faith that this is all for me, it's all for the best for me, then we tend to have the strength we need to face whatever it is that we are facing.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have time for one more caller, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Hey. Oh, gosh. yeah, I'm super excited to get on. I usually work at this time, and it's very difficult for me to call in. I've been wanting to. And everything that was said on the call is pretty much almost like I don't need to call anymore. kind of just hit
all
the
points.
It was all for you. Yeah, it was all for me, exactly. may I be an instrument of peace. I've really also been having a big workshop and having a lot of resistance, like the most resistance I've ever experienced since, finding living compassion. And I sort of called and I was like, here's my projections. I just want to kind of name my predictions that I'm having and see, see. But there's one big thing of, like, if you're not, you kind of were talking about it in different ways on the call. It's like, if I'm suffering, then I'm not doing enough. And I know that's not what you said, but that's what I'm hearing. It's like it's all your fault kind of thing. And so I just have to keep...
Well,
may
I?
Harder.
May I, Monica?
Yeah.
Monica?
Yeah.
If you are suffering, you are choosing something over ending suffering. It doesn't say you need to do more. It says your attention is on suffering instead of not suffering.
Right, but if I'm doing everything that I think humanly possible that I'm able to do, now I'm sure there's more that I could do that I'm not doing, but it feels like I'm doing everything humanly possible. Like I'm showing up in as many ways, taking as many opportunities, using all the tools. I don't know. It's that thing, the thing that was like this behavior change of, like, I don't know.
And so,
I'm just
what's happening? What's happening?
Oh God, I have such a hard time with calls because I want to be succinct and I want to say things that, like, so here's a little bit of a metaphor. So I was at the eclipse, total eclipse on the weekend, and was on this ranch in Oregon, and they put this slip and slide. It's called. It's like a big piece of plastic. They put a lot of water and you run and jump and slide down it. And it was like all this fun, and I was with three friends, and we're all, like, in our 50s, and we kind of sat down and tried to scoot, and we weren't getting very far. Then all these young people came, and they're like, no, you have to run really fast and fly through the air and land on your belly and slide down. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And I would sort of run, and I would jump on the thing and slide and make it, like, a quarter of the way down. And everybody else was just, like, sliding to the bottom. So there was this – I just saw this process that's very similar to what I'm having an experience of in practice that, okay, so I just wanted to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it until I get to the bottom, because that's the holy grail. Like, if I could just get to the bottom, then I know I did it well enough. And – but I'm balancing it with, like, it's hurting me. Like, I don't want to get hurt, or I don't – like, I'm balancing the fear and then just – like being wise, because I'm 55 and I have injuries and I'm not supposed to be like running and jumping off the mountains. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's just
so,
like,
Monica, no, it's not about trying harder. It's a contest. It's a contest. You bought into a contest. If you X, then that means why?
Yeah. Okay?
And so it's a contest. And it's not happening the way ego says the contest should be going, and therefore it means you're the wrong person. And the whole thing is horse bucky. There's no rule like that outside of conditioned mind. Life is not making a contest. That you need to do more and more and more and more in order to succeed at. You can't do more and more and more and more in order to be present. They're in opposite directions.
Right.
But it's talked you into falling for something, believing something that's just not true, and then making you angry and upset because this thing that's not true continues not to be true.
Yeah.
So if you were the right person, ego would win. Well, that's just not how it works. You are the right person.
What do you mean if I was the right person, ego would win?
Well, that's what ego has set up. It would get what it wants if you would just be the right person, get to the bottom of the slide. Do more. Try harder. You would make it successful. But the thing that in an identified state we don't get to see is that it is being successful because it is controlling you and sucking the life force out of you. So it's got exactly what it wants.
Right, and it's doing it around practice.
It's
like, right. It's saying, like, okay, you're never present. You're never present, and that's because you're not trying hard enough. You know, like it's not possible to be present. So, yes, it's possible if I do living, if I, you know, practicing monk, like, in that environment, but it's like, it's not possible.
Monica, I hate to disagree with that voice in your head. You know I do. I just love to agree with it wholeheartedly. But the last time I spent time with you, you were present and you were a very happy person.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do. Very well, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And you weren't having to try harder and do more, and you just weren't listening to that bogus voice tell you a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
The only difference.
I suppose. I'll take your word for it. I'm sort of still believing it.
Well,
right,
you know,
now,
it's
but
true. You know it's true. Yeah, because you can recall that. And you were not doing all of these crazy, you know, trying to meet all these ever-changing standards and taking it on that it's your fault, that you're not, whatever it is. I mean, all that stuff, you weren't doing that, and so you weren't having that experience. And so, of course, I'm going to suggest that really all you need to do is get out of that conversation. And I would add one other thing to it. Get your sense of humor back. Because have you noticed there's no humor in any of this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
get that
I
sense
do.
Of humor back and start laughing at it, okay? When it says, well, you're never present. And if you could be, but if you're not doing enough. You need to try harder. It's all your fault. And yeah, right. Who hired you to be the comedian in my life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can see
okay.
the takeover for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when you start with the recordings, go back to those times. Start finding those recordings when you were lit up, when in fact you were present, when you were grateful, when you were all of those things that you were. And let those be the recordings that you listen to. Yeah, we all get taken over. We do. We do. It's how we get to see how really ugly it is and how much suffering there is and how much we really don't want to live there.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so you just get to say thanks. Thanks for the workshop. And thank you very much. I'm going to go home now. I don't want to be in this workshop with you any longer. I'm going to go talk to the mentor.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Now, as we were talking about with Barbara, it's not like it's going to say, oh, well, Monica, you little devil, you caught on to us. And so, okay, you're free. It's going to do everything it can to try to drag you back down into that pit. But you've seen what it is doing, and you know in your heart that you have a different choice, and you know what that choice is, and you actually know how to make it. And it's not doing more.
I mean, I guess seeing the suffering, part of the game is like, oh, if you're suffering, then, like, that's not supposed to be part of it. Like, if I'm suffering, then, I mean, suffering, you can be suffering and still be practicing and still be present.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
There's this idea, like if I was present, I would never suffer.
Oh well, you'll suffer as long as it's helpful for you to suffer, because if you look at what you have just seen as a result of what you've just been through, you won't wish it hadn't happened.
No.
Yeah. Because you saw it, and it's hideous, and it's ugly. And even within that, you realize you wanted to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
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 So we do. We suffer until all that karma is cleaned up. That's the beautiful gift that we have, as far as I can tell, in a human incarnation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
You are so very welcome anytime.
Okay, thank you.
All
thank
right.
you, Michael.
Take care.
You're
Be in
welcome.
Touch now. Don't let it drag okay. you off to some water slide somewhere in a total eclipse of the sun. Don't do that.
All right. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Monica. Powerful conversation, Sherry. Very
yeah.
Powerful.
Boy,
a lot of
people are practicing. I wonder, of course, how much is Mercury retrograde. You know, Mercury is retrograde, and we have a total eclipse of the sun. Come on. You know, those planets are active. We better know that we're going to, you know, we're going to experience some stuff as a result of all of this. So we just,
mm-hmm.
Fasten our seatbelts, say thank you, and away we go.
Away we go. And away we go tonight. Sherry, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Michael. Thank you. Talk to you
soon,
I hope.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.